So welcome. Welcome this bright and beautiful Easter morning. Not as bright as it could be, but it was bright yesterday afternoon, and we'll go with that. So you are so welcome here. If this is your very first time here and you're visiting with us, you're welcome if you've been coming for 50 years. You're welcome if you came alone. You're welcome if you came with a bustling family. And you're welcome if someone dragged you here. And you're welcome if you came with hope and joy of Easter in your heart. And you are welcome here if you are despairing and full of grief. And winter seems to cling to you like a damp fog. You are all so welcome here. And so I just want to let you know that this is a multi-generational service. And so that all the children are staying with us in service. And I want to let you know that there's room downstairs to sit if you feel like you want to go down there. And I would like to welcome everyone who's visiting with us today and to let you know that after the service that we have coffee downstairs and there's going to be an egg hunt for children.
And yet, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscape, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. We are, in fact, one people, gathered in a holy moment and place among our one another, within and beyond our own sacred selves. And yet, as we turn toward the new light of Easter, it behooves us to remember that while we do not have to be good, in turning toward something, in saying yes to the unexpected, the glorious, the grace-filled joy of the day, we might first have the chance to acknowledge when we have turned away from that joy, when we have turned away our faces from love. The poet says we can tell of one another's despair. We can admit when we have said no, when the light of yes was right before us. And so, together, we will speak the ways we have fallen short of the hopes of love, the hopes of grace for ourselves and one another. As I raise my hand, I will ask you to say the words, "And yet we turn toward a new day of hope." And yet we turn toward a new day of hope. We have hurt one another, spoken harshly, held on to anger and nurtured grudges against one another, separating ourselves from those we love. And yet we turn toward a new day of hope. We have refused compassion and help when it was offered to us in our suffering, bound by our own pride. And yet we turn toward a new day of hope. We have not always taken in the wonder of the world, the glory of beauty, the daily miracles that call us toward awe and appreciation. And yet we turn toward a new day of hope. And we have refused understanding when it was offered, denied where there might be faith, and despaired where there could be hope. We have sometimes given up. And yet we turn toward a new day of hope. We turn toward a new day of hope, a new dawn, a new way of being in the world. We affirm our spirits may be resurrected from the depth and death of despair, and we commit ourselves to love again. And we yet turn toward a new day of hope.
It is Easter! Alleluia! It is Easter! Alleluia! Life overcomes death. Alleluia. Tight, tiny buds emerge on thin branches. Alleluia. The young gods of faith die and return, blessing people. Alleluia. Joy overcomes sorrow. Alleluia. Hope drives away despair. Alleluia.
To the work of this church, which is building beloved community within and beyond these walls, we dedicate ourselves and these offerings. And as part of our offering, let us bring forward to this altar the symbols of Easter, of spring, and of faithful community as our gifts of celebration for the day. We offer these lovely, colorful eggs representing for millennia and across cultures life, fertility, and hope for regeneration. May they remind us of the eagerness of life to create and recreate itself. We offer these budding branches to remind ourselves that each spring, what appears lifeless bursts into life, and to remind us that this too can be true of our spirits. And we offer these flowers to remember that spring, both on earth and in our hearts, has the capacity to return color and vividness and vitality to our life if we open ourselves to it. And we offer bitter herbs to remind us of the Jewish spring celebration of Passover, celebrated here just this Friday night, a festival commemorating their ancestors' escape from slavery and their liberation, as a reminder to us of the bitterness of bondage and the sweetness of freedom. We offer this candle to remind us of the Christians in this room and across the world who last night and this morning lit candles to represent the greatest miracle of the Christian faith, that Jesus died and came back to teach them and be with them and remind them of how he is always with us. and we offer grain and bread and grapes and wine, old, old symbols of the human relationship to the great Mother Earth and to each other. They remind us that sustenance comes both from the earth and from one another.
Spirit of love and life, thank you for our life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for our life. Thank you for Easter and all the spring celebrations that remind us that the dark and gray of earth and spirit always renews. It is the nature of life to renew endlessly. We, each of us, is a beloved child of life. And as our skin heals when wounded, so do our hearts and our souls and our spirits. Thank you for Easter, where we get to remember this. Thank you for the reminders that it is our nature to transform. It is our nature to heal and to become whole. We sometimes lose what we loved and we grieve and despair. Sometimes life is unfair and mean and we rage and cry. When this is true, let us remember Easter, and that when our spirit is dead, when our heart is broken, when the world is cruel, renewal is possible. Spirit of love and life, remind us to be patient. Remind us to be kind and careful to ourselves and to others when we have to wait, as Jasper had to wait. When we trudge through winter and gray and pain and struggle, remind us of Easter and life's promise of renewal. Remind us that we won't be looking, that we will be surprised, perhaps on a Thursday, when we are doing something else entirely. And remind us then to say thank you, and then to perhaps look for giants. This morning, because it is Easter, and Easter is about newness and surprise, we are going to do a meditative joys and concerns. So this morning I ask you, if your spirit is down and sad, come forward and place a stone in the water. This morning, if there is joy and new life in your spirit, please come forward and place a stone in the water. This morning, if you just need a little more hope or love or faith, please come forward and gently place a stone in the water. And so now we will spend some time in quiet and meditation as people come forward as they are called. Our reading this morning is by the Reverend Victoria Safford. The dead shall rise again. Have you seen the trees? Have you seen the maple buds, the magnolias swelling and blooming? Poplars, the first lacy pale prey across the shoulder of the hills. The forsythia, or as one child I know calls it, the three Cynthia, the two Cynthia, and the three small flowering perfect crab apple trees in the park, strong little trees begging children to climb that and get lost for a while in the magical pink canopies. Did you smell the rain this week and the muddy, ready earth receiving it? Did you smell the musty, lusty mold pile of leaves all thawed now and underneath the moist, living earthworms wide awake? Is it safe, I wonder, to presume we have all seen the dead resurrected? Can we presume, just quietly among us, this basic fact? Can we admit, however carefully at first, however foolish it might sound, that once or twice in our lives, or perhaps over and over and tumbling over, we have seen events miraculous? Choose the words you will, whatever words you need. If miracle cloys, try unexpected, surprising, unanticipated, lucky. That which has been given us, the second change, the second wind, by the grace of God knows what. We don't know, and we never will, where the leaf strength comes from in the spring. We don't know, and never will, where our own strength comes from. But we have known despair, some of us, discouragement, some of us, and discord of mind and heart, or disasters in the body, or in the spirit, or both. We have known dead hope, dead courage, dead caring, dead will, dead faith, dead vision, dead power, deep winter. And we have felt, perhaps when we least expected to feel anything at all, our own slow blood stir in the vein like maple sap. And something very small and tight within us begin to well and open up, urgent, imperceptible at first, then undeniable. Love lives again that with the dead has been. Did the sun come up this morning? No thanks to us and all for us. Did the earth awake again or did it not? We will testify to resurrection.
Rebecca Parker reminds us to choose to bless the world. And this is an excerpt from her poem, Choose to Bless the World. Your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. So you must answer this question, what will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. The choice to bless the world is an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a seemingly broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace and mystery abide. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, even yours. The choice to bless the world can take you into solitude, to search for the sources of power and grace, native wisdom, healing, and liberation. More, the choice will draw you into community, the endeavor shared, the heritage passed on, the companionship of struggle, and the importance of keeping faith, the life of ritual and praise, the comfort of human friendship, the chorus of life, the company of earth welcoming you. None of us alone can save the world. Together, that is another possibility waiting. In my life, the story of Easter is wrapped in memories of high church Roman Catholic masses, many of them. I grew up in central Pennsylvania at Our Lady of Victory Roman Catholic Church. We had Holy Thursday's foot washing, walking prayers of the Stations of the Cross, the waiting of Holy Saturday, the lighting of the new fire, and the blessing of the Paschal candle in holy water at the Easter Vigil, and the return of the word Alleluia, and the great organ played triumphantly after its long silence throughout the reflective days of Lent. I loved each day of Holy Week, each of their separate meanings, every one of them. Other friends celebrated and still celebrate today the days of Pesach, Passover, the Seder plate arranged, the Haggadah read and sung, families together. Dayenu, Dayenu, it is enough. It can be enough. It would have been enough just to know that we are not alone. And really, it can be enough to choose to bless the world. Religions throughout the world and for years uncounted have celebrated the return of spring, what my father always called the procession of flowers, the lambing and the calving of precious livestock, and the shoot that pushes through ground that had been frozen and now is awfully muddy. And in the earliest days of Christianity, when it was a tender, peaceful minority religion, its adherents, we are told, followed a man who was both loving and revolutionary, who fomented rebellion and offered peace. And each of the Gospels offers a different vision of Jesus of Nazareth's life and teachings. And yet I find the meteoric rise of Christianity to a majority, even imperial religion, sometimes saddening. And as a pagan, familiar with and fascinated by ancient myth and religion, I find the story of the dying and rising God comfortable. It appears through the ancient Near East and the Mediterranean. But today is Easter. And I cannot preach about Easter without speaking about Jesus. Because his story is particular. For one thing, in one account, he's just missing when the women come to tend to his body. He's not killed so that his blood will fertilize the ground and feed the people. It is not his lover, mother, sister, goddess who wields the sickle. In Jesus' case, he was considered a threat to imperial oppression and collusion. In Jesus' case, the stone is rolled away and an angel is in the place where his friends came to find him. In Jesus' case, Jewish as he was, the ones who find the stone rolled away are the women who have risen early in the morning, come to do the mitzvah, to tend to the dead. For another, the resurrection is described as the victory of love and peace over war and destruction, a message of impossible hope, foolish peace, and ridiculous love. But after the resurrection, when he appears to his disciples, we are told he blows over their hands and says, "Peace be with you." A gentler Jesus than the one who wreaked havoc among the hypocrites of the temple or yelled at the Pharisees. His life and teaching is distilled, sharper and clearer, a message of triumphant love. Love wins. Love wins. And this is a message that many of our Unitarian Universalist forebears and contemporaries say over and over again. But his friends saw him die, after all, and they lived under imperial occupation by a Roman force. how hard for them it must have been to believe that love could win. How hard it is for us. Are we to just love everyone and try to find common ground with those who will not hear us, who are violently opposed to some of us, even going so far as to blame some of us for natural disasters, and to affirm the deportation, persecution, or death of some of us? If love rises from the earth as it does every spring and as it does in the Easter story, then we need to learn a little bit about what love is. Love is not weak. Love is not a pushover. Love is what I learned to call the switchblade shoot of the iris, sliding inexorably through the earth. And love is the motive for voices that cry out for justice, even when their cries are outrage. Love can and must say no. Love teaches by word and example and takes the side of those oppressed every single time. Love gives itself away, appoints its life to save its friends, and condemns no one to some eternal perdition, our universalist forebears taught us. If we would celebrate Easter, even in a humanist, naturalist, pagan, or other mixed or ambivalent way, I believe we must first say yes to our grief and failings, and it wasn't Tracy's fault. We had a confession at the beginning. It was mine. We must even admit to the despair we sometimes feel. But once that acknowledgement is done, we have the chance to renew our awakening of love and to carve from the mountain of despair the hope that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said could come. Love comes again every time we invite it, every time we commit to it, every time we insist upon it, in the teeth of empire and in the teeth of what feel like impossible odds. Love can come again, like the grain that comes again every year under the sun without fail. But it is these people, it is we who must bring that love to birth, make the decision to accept and hasten its victory, choose to bless the world, even to see that it's hard to find our blessing or the worth of our blessing from here. We must demand the resurrection of our own souls, our own interior, our own hearts. We can admit what is true about our faults, but then let us lean into the great strength of insisting that love wins.
I would like to offer you this Easter blessing. May you always remember that life wins, that love wins. When the darkness of despair and grief descend into your life, may life call you on. When you are lonely and fearful, may love call you on. I would like you to turn to one neighbor or two neighbors and say to them, life wins, love wins. May life call you on. May love call you on. These words are by James Bolton. Shake out your qualms. Shake up your dreams. Deepen your roots. Extend your branches. Trust deep water and head for the open. Even if your vision shipwrecks you,
Quit your addiction to sneer and complain. Open a lookout. Dance on the brink. Run with your wildfire. You are closer to glory leaping an abyss than upholstering a rut. Not dawdling, not doubting, intrepid all the way, walk toward clarity. At every crossroads, be prepared to bump into wonder. Only love prevails. En route to disaster, insist on canticles. Lift your inevitable out of the mundane. Nothing perishes. Nothing survives. Everything transforms. Honeymoon with joy. We will now extinguish our chalice.
As in all things in the household of earth, we embrace for a while and then let go. But for now, dear friends, let us go from this house into the world, aware of the embrace of the spring, the embrace of the unexpected, the unfathomable, the miraculous.